Hey, guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, a brand new podcast for the morbidly curious.
I'm Sanjay, and sitting across from this little red thing that we use as a table is Georgia. George, how are you doing today?
It's an ottoman.
It's not an ottoman without a couch. It needs context.
It's kind of... It's a Walmart cube. Who fucking knows?
I don't know. That's a crate.
Okay. I mean, I can tell you all about my trip to Illinois if you really want to.
No.
You already saw the highlights on Snapchat.
Georgia saw a lot of very large, mundane things. Like
big things in a small town, Casey, Illinois.
Is that like the actual, like...
Town thing? Slogan thing?
That's so dumb!
That's like their... Well, no. Okay, so what was it? There's the... Okay, so there are some things that are just big, and then there are some things that are officially the world's largest.
Yeah.
And 8 of the things that I posted were the world's largest. So, pitchfork, mailbox...
Pencil?
Not the pencil.
Knitting needles
and crochet hook. Mm-hmm. Wind chimes, rocking chair, golf tee. And there's another one, I can't remember.
Yeah. The wind chimes are actually really cool.
Yeah, and they actually like work. You can ring them.
Really?
And,
mm-hmm. Nice.
Yep.
I want to go
They kind of sound like
that.
A gong, though.
That makes sense.
Well, if I move to Illinois, you can come visit me just to go ring the wind chimes.
Done. Oh, not going to see you.
Not to hang out with me.
No.
Not so we can record in person again.
No, it'll literally just be for the wind chimes. Gonna travel there, get there at like midnight, hit the gong, as the kids say, fall asleep, probably in a public park, and
there
then go home.
There are bunches there, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Do they have those spikes on them?
No.
Nice. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you live in a city where you have spikes on your benches, know that that's not okay.
Homeless people gotta sleep.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why they do it. It sucks. Like, I don't know. It just sucks. I do know it sucks.
Yeah.
Glad we got our tangents going real early this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did sit in a truck for the best part of, I don't know, 16 hours total driving, and then, like, another 2 or 3 hours just driving around Illinois looking at things, so...
Yeah, looking for the world's largest items.
In the space of 3 days, so that was a lot of fun.
Doesn't sound
and also, I had to research both of these episodes during that time, and now we have an intern who wrote all of my notes for me while I was driving, so...
Yep, shout-outs to interns, too. We will literally never give you money for any of the work you put in. Oh, also shout-out to Hope, who I think we've done this already.
Yeah, but let's do it again, because yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, she's our new social media person, so she's the reason you see more than one post a week.
I really suck at social media.
Yeah, I... Only good at, like, memes. That's it. And I'm not even great at memes. I'm just good at memes. Like, I'm very average. I'd like 6.5, maybe like 7.5 out of 10.
Retract to the shout out to Stu, though, because his handwriting's not super great anyway. Yeah. And the fact that he wrote these on a very bumpy road driving through Missouri in a vehicle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like putting
it's real dicey it's
like
right now.
Duct taping a ballpoint pen to a jackhammer and throwing it into the ocean. You know, you're not gonna find much there.
Oh,
it's good old
be
Southern
so
sayings.
Upset.
Yeehaw!
You're like Sandy the squirrel right now.
Thank you.
Third SpongeBob episode in a row. Let's go.
I almost wore my cowboy hat in today. Like I didn't, but it's in my car, and I opened my back seat to get recording equipment, and I just looked at it. I was like. Not today. Close it again.
It's way too humid for cowboy hats today.
I'm literally wearing a long sleeve shirt, long sleeve pants, and there's a heat index of like 102.
Long
sleeve
pants.
It's the name of our spinoff podcast about fashion.
I wear jeans every day.
You do. I didn't think Georgia had ankles or shins for the first year I knew her.
No, you have to know I have ankles because I'm short, so I wear jeans that cut off above my ankles because they're the most flattering to my height.
I thought you were like Cotton from King of the Hill and you just like had your shins blown off, so that was actually like your knee. And
yeah.
Like it's just
I
like,
mean, I am that short. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I was trying to get my wine glass earlier and the dishwasher was open because Robert was putting some dishes in the dishwasher. And I couldn't reach the wine glasses
yeah.
on the shelf because, like, leaning over the open dishwasher. And Robert just, like, looked at me and, like, looked at the wine glasses and then they looked back at me and then just, like, really
yeah,
pathetically,
like... Beautiful
like,
mortal.
Really pathetically handed me a wine yeah. glass and I was like, yep, that's... I'm really short. I'm not even really short. I just hang out with a lot of people that are a lot taller than me.
Like, every male in this apartment right now is tall. I think.
I mean, yeah, I'd say what?
Like 5...
6'1 is the shortest male in this apartment, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Like, 2 of us are 6'1", so it's like... in the... Yeah, Robert's a fucking monster.
Robert's like 6'3 or something. Fuck. And I'm 5'4".
Yeah.
Huh. Well, and even Taylor Hall for a girl, she's 5'8".
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Hang out with a lot of people who are a lot taller than me. Mm-hmm. And, like, Ryan's 5'9", 5'10", I think.
I've never seen her standing up. That sounds weird.
I think she's
5'10". I've only seen her, like, at the bar.
At the bar, yeah. I'm so pretty sure she's, like, 5'10".
It's weird.
So, no, she's 5'9". I'm average, but I'm relatively short compared
to all average except for your circle, yeah.
Yeah. Let me fit and hang out with a bunch of freaks.
Dude, you gotta be secure about your height, you know? Like, I was scared of tall women for most of my life because I'm a tall guy. So if you're, like, a woman is taller than me, like, that Amazon can beat the shit out of me. Like, first, I'm brittle to start off with. Mm-hmm. You know, as we said last episode, I have glass bones and paper skin. But,
that is the second SpongeBob reference.
Yeah.
Yet again.
So, like, tall lady scared me. And then I was like, no, queen, if you want to look above my head, if you want to carry me across the threshold, that's fine. Okay? Like, power to you. I love it. You can wear the jorts in this relationship. It's okay.
I still need to post a picture of you wearing shorts on your head. Yeah. That's gonna happen.
It'll happen eventually.
I don't even really... Nobody that doesn't know us knows what we look like.
No, that's weird. True. Yeah, that is weird.
Because when I listen to podcasts, I'm always like, what do these... Like, I need to put a face... And I will, like, Google search people.
Same,
to find out what they look like.
When I was in high school, I looked up Shorty and the Boys, who are my favorite radio hosts, and they all look very Italian. Like, so fucking Italian. If you went to, like, the Chef Boyardee factory, and then just, like, picked out 3 people, like, that's what they look like. They look like raviolis.
This is kind of off topic, but I found out today that my district at my job provides
Chef Boyardee.
For a pizza tossing competitive team.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. They like do these like freestyle hand tossing competitions and like they all these different pizza makings. Nice. And it made me think of, you know, the mini game on Mario Party where you have to throw the toppings on the pizza before anyone else?
That's all I can think of. I'm awful at
Mario. I'm really good at that one.
It's
all about timing.
I'm bad at a lot of games. But I'm also really good at niche games. Yeah.
I'm not good at most.
For example, like Smash Bros. Is a very popular game among our generation. I'm not good at Smash Bros., but I'm really good at, like, being Yoshi and egging people.
Alright.
Like, you know, like, I will stage you as a fucking egg, and I will taunt you while I do it.
Well, I only play with Sheik when I play Smash Bros.
Dude, Sheik's busted. Zelda's my actual main.
Yeah, that's fair.
I love her. And I also love Sheik, but, like, Sheik's, like, too light.
She's very light.
Yeah.
Very
so
quick.
So it's like, whatever.
So, you want to talk about some stuff?
Yeah, welcome to the Spooky Podcast. What are we talking about today?
Tangent Cast 2019.
Guys and Ghouls, Tangent Cast 2019. What are we listening to talking about today, Georgia?
Fuck, how short I am.
Yeah.
This evening, as we said last time. This evening. I wish that Vincent Price was still alive.
I don't know who that is.
The guy that did the voice for Thriller.
The Michael Jackson...
Like, yeah, the guy that does the voiceover.
Oh, yeah.
Who's in all the horror movies.
Nice, yeah.
I wish he was still alive.
Me too. I wish Michael Jackson was still alive, but, like, only, like, parts of him. Anyway, let's all not talk about Michael Jackson today.
I have a Vincent Price meme at my desk. It's 2 panels of Vincent Price, and his face is different in each of them. And the first one says, I like my women like I like my wine. And then the bottom one says, on a rack in my cellar. That does remind me, though. This is kind of a tangent, but not really. We drove past... I think I talked about this on the podcast before, but there's a haunted asylum by where my parents live, and we totally drove past it yesterday.
Did you see the person in the upstairs?
No. There was a thing in that window, but I'm pretty sure they just put...
Was it Danny DeVito? Like a cutout of Danny DeVito?
I really hope so.
I got AIDS!
It looks like there was just something sitting in the window.
Yeah.
But it just happened to be the window that she's supposed to go to. And I was talking to my mom about it, because my mom knows the people who used to own it, but it's changed hands, like, twice since then. But we had a private tour back in the day, and my mom always said that the rooms that were supposed to be the creepy ones never bothered her.
Yeah.
But she always got creeped out in one of the bathrooms. And, like, if you think about all the shit they did in asylums to patients back in the day, like,
mm-hmm.
did someone drown in a bathtub? Did they get, like, tortured in the bathroom? Did they, like, kill themselves in the bathroom?
No, like, I think it's just, like, no one knows how the human, like, digestive system works. And that really, like, messed up your mom a little bit.
That's fair.
I read a book series once, continuing tangent cast, where, it's set in Savannah, and it's a low fantasy setting,
mm-hmm.
so it's, like, modern-day Savannah, but there's also, like, fucking orcs and shit. Magic and technology are in inverse waves, so they were at an equilibrium at one point, and now, like, whenever one is at 70, the other one's at 30, you know? When magic is high, cars won't work, because, like, tech is low.
Yeah, maybe you told me about it before.
Ileana Andrews is a fantastic writer. No matter what, phones always work. Because nobody knows how phones work in real life, so there's always an air of magic around them. That's and true. I read that initially, I was like, this is dumb. And then I realized that no adult I've ever asked can explain to me how a phone works.
How does a phone work?
That's like, fair. Can you explain to me how phones work?
No.
Yeah, it's dumb. I loosely know because I watched Good Omens, like, a week ago.
So...
But that's it. Even then, like, I still don't believe it. Like, I know that it's true.
Let's resurrect Alexander Graham Bell. Have him explain to us the most basic principle of the original telephone. And then maybe that'll provide some insight to how phones now work. But now they're so complicated with the internet and data.
You sound so old.
I just am very confused.
They're so confusing with
data.
Hey,
my dad sells a flip phone, so.
So does my mom. My mom had a slide phone until a couple months ago, and it just, like, disintegrated.
You want to hear about Necronomicon?
I've heard that it's to die for.
Yep. Did we make that pun yet? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I'm just heated about these. Just a lot. Tell me about this book. I know that it's like the Book of the Dead.
Yeah.
But I think all of my information about it is from the Whitest Kids You Know sketch. Necronomicon. Mom and Dad are gone. You know what that means? Nail gun. I'll go first. Kills his brother.
I love those skits, you know.
One of the, I, like, cry every time.
Taylor and I at D&D a lot of times will be like, Nye fucked up. Yeah, Nye fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah. Listen to the lady, John. What are you gonna do, John?
Oh, I love that show.
Honey, what are you gonna do? I'm gonna take this hammer and I'm gonna hit him on the butt. Ow, my butt. Ow. He's hitting me in the butt.
Oh, God. Let's talk about the Necronomicon.
Yeah.
In all of its capacities.
Can we also talk about nail guns at a different point?
Yep.
Sweet.
Let's do it.
Sick.
So, first of all, we're talking about Necronomicon because this episode's going to air on Friday, which is when the con, Necronomicon, will be happening in Providence, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
It coincides with the anniversary of H.P. Lovecraft's birthday.
Happy birthday, H.P.
And he is one of my favorite authors.
He's dead.
And, you know, we're gonna be doing that Call of Cthulhu roleplaying shit, so...
We sent you guys our dice, so hopefully you enjoyed that.
Sanja actually stole my dice.
I did. So. She just got... It's been like a week. She
I haven't even used them yet.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love it. I love theft. Like, let me tell you guys.
Sticky fingers over here.
Yeah.
Necronomicon 2019 is happening in Providence this weekend, and I really wish I could be there, but since I can't be there, we're gonna... Kat, can I help you? Luna does not approve of my notes. We're gonna talk about Necronomicon 2019, the con itself. We're gonna talk a little bit about Providence. We're gonna talk about my cat being an asshole.
She's intentionally waiting until Georgia starts speaking, and then just starts, like, making eye contact and just kneading. It's great.
Let's continue our game of how many times you can hear Luna's bell jingling in the background.
Every time you hear the jingle,
take a shot. Take a drink.
Just like Christmas. Hear the jingle, take a shot for Kringle.
Jingle bells.
Ah.
Luna's fat, but you're today. Really cute.
Okay.
Have you heard Jingle Bells in a minor chord? It's so good.
No, I don't know what that means. I'm not a music-y boy.
It's a key, not a chord. I'm an idiot, but...
Major key. I know DJ Khaled yells that a lot.
Well, instead of being all, like, happy, it's all, like, It's like haunting and creepy. It's really cool.
Is it like in Nightmare Before Christmas when Jack's trying to teach them all Christmas music? Is it like that?
Probably.
And they play it on like accordions and shit. Oh, nice.
If you Google Jingle Bells Minor, there's a video of a kid just playing it on piano, and it's so like slow and like horror movie-esque. It's really cool.
Nice. I love it.
It's way more my spirit of Christmas. Alright, so Necronomicon 2019, happening this weekend in Providence, Rhode Island, home of H.P. Lovecraft, celebrating the birth of H.P. Lovecraft and his Eldritch universe.
You the realist.
Cthulhu mythos, as they say. So we're going to talk a little bit about Providence, the haunted Providence Biltmore Hotel, Swan Point Cemetery. We'll talk about the Necronomicon itself, the book itself. And
it's covered in skin.
Talk a little bit about pop culture. And then we're going to talk about real skin books. Pop.
I don't want to talk about real skin books.
We're going to talk about real... And we've already talked a little bit about real skin books before.
So. I didn't enjoy it.
Well, too bad.
All right. Sadcast 2019.
The Lovecraft Arts and Sciences Council puts on Necronomicon every year. First one was in 2013. And it's really cool, and I really want to go. All these scholars and nerds just get together. And there are a whole symposia on H.P. Lovecraft and, like, the people he has influenced and the people who influenced him. And they look at different themes within weird fiction and even social issues through the lens of weird fiction.
Zombie rights.
And then the people just, like, come together and they talk about, like, Call of Cthulhu-style role-playing games and stuff like that. It's really cool. Artists, scholars, authors, fans, like, they all just come together. You can get, like, your Cthulhu mythos style sculptures and whatever from artists who make that in real life. And I first heard about it from my most favorite podcast, the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast. Guys, I don't know if you've noticed, but I really like Lovecraft.
Yeah, she's got big boners for Lovecraft.
I do. I have the guy's complete dead. Anthology. He used to survive on, like, baked beans and coffee.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he did die of cancer, so...
Don't advertise it like that. You made it sound like he lived such a happy, good life, and it's like,
no, he was just poor because he wanted to write, but he didn't want to write people. Like, he wanted to write, but he didn't want to write things that people made him write. He wanted to write what he wanted to write.
Yeah.
So he just lived a poor, starving author life. He was kind of racist and kind of homophobic, but one of his best friends was gay, and his wife was... They weren't married for very long, but she was actually Jewish, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, everyone is like, oh, he's anti-Semitic, he's racist, he's... And if you look at the evolution of his writing, I think that if he had lived longer, the concepts within his writing were really evolving, and I think that if he had lived longer, that would have been something that he had kind of outgrown, and I think that he would have been one of those people who changed with the times instead of just being stuck in his 19-teens ways and being all grumpy about immigrants and whatever, so, which is very much how he is in his earlier writings, so.
Was he one of the writers that, like, wasn't appreciated until he died? Like, did he not get actually famous until his writing was released?
Like, no, people knew who he was. He one of the publications that he contributed most to was Weird Tales. So, Robert Bloch, do you know who that is?
No.
Robert Bloch wrote Psycho.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He also wrote, like, Star Trek episodes, and then he also wrote weird fiction as well. He was maybe a teenager when he first started. He would read Lovecraft's stories in Weird Tales or whatever other publications he was contributing to. Read his stories, and he would write to him and just be like, hey, I really like your stories. This is a little something that I wrote kind of in the same style.
Mm-hmm.
And Lovecraft became one of his mentors.
Wow.
And they actually, like, feature versions of each other in their stories. But, yeah, Robert Bloch was a huge mentee of Lovecraft, and he contributes a lot of pop culture that we know today. Like I said, Psycho, Star Trek. He wrote, what's that really popular Cat's Paw, that episode of Star Trek. It's from, like, the original series.
No.
I don't really...
Yeah. What was the... Off the top of your head, what were the lifespans of Robert Bach and H.P. Lovecraft?
Lovecraft died really young. He was born in the 1890s, and I think he died in his 40s. Like I said, he had cancer.
Like 1930, like,
yeah, 30-something, okay. Yeah. He died before World War II, for sure. Mm-hmm. Robert Bloch, I think, died maybe in the 90s. He lived, like, a normal 70-ish years or so. 78 years.
So he was literally a teenager when he was, like a mentee of Lovecraft. Wow, that's insane. Okay, cool. Because I was like, I don't think that Star Trek was going on when World War One was happening.
Yeah, no. He was definitely, he was really young when he first started following Lovecraft.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and then, I mean, if you look at other authors within the same contemporaries, and then also people influenced by Lovecraft and people who influenced Lovecraft, you have Robert E. Howard, who wrote the Conan the Barbarian series.
Yeah.
Clark Ashton Smith, who wrote, John Carter. Who wrote John Carter?
I have no idea.
But August Derleth, Edgar Rice Burroughs. He wrote a lot of, like, weird fiction and sci-fi stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you have Poe, who was Lovecraft's biggest influence in the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is all stuff I know off the top of my head, too, which is, like I said, I really like Lovecraft.
And that's, like, mostly what I wanted, because I know, like, there are probably other people that don't have a near, like, photographic memory of, like, Lovecraft's biography and his, like, timeline.
Well, and honestly, like I said, I mean, I've read some of his stuff, and I know what stories I like, and I know what stories I can skip, and not bother reading because I listen to the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast, which has been my favorite podcast for years now, and that podcast has been going for 10 years. And these guys are just people who really like Lovecraft. They did, like, a little synopsis, and then they kind of discuss, like, literary concepts and ideas and their opinions and other people's thoughts on the subject matter. And when they went through all of his stories, they started... He wrote an essay called Supernatural Horror and Literature, and it's about stories that he really likes or doesn't care for, or and, like, why they're significant to weird fiction. They cover a story, you know, they cover Poe, they cover Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, they cover all kinds of people, Robert E. Howard, Clark Ashton Smith, all those people I just mentioned. And that's where, like, most of my foundation on weird literature comes from. And like I said, I know what stories I can skip, but I also know what stories I went back and I was like, that story sounded really cool, and then I actually went back and read it myself. Because they're all really short stories.
Yeah.
I mean, Call of Cthulhu, people think of it as being this epic thing, but you can read Call of Cthulhu in, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah. I did read it. Which is, like, surprising, I guess. Yeah.
So Lovecraft lived most of his life in Providence. When he got married, he moved to New York with his wife, and he really hated it, and he hated everyone. There is a very distinct period in his writing where you can tell that he was in New York, because his feelings on his environment really showed in his writings.
Yeah.
So they got divorced, he ended up moving back to Providence, and he just kind of hung out there by himself. But one of the coolest places in Providence, and one of the main venues of the Necronomicon, is the Biltmore Hotel, which is supposed to be haunted. So I figured we'd talk about it. It was built in 1922, and it made the America's Most Haunted list in the year 2000. I don't know where it falls on that list now, but whatever.
Who makes that list?
I don't know, but I kind of want that job to just...
You go around and be like, this shit haunted.
Yeah. This one scared me. This one didn't. Yeah. These shoes rule. These shoes suck. Right. And it was established by this guy. His name is Johan. I'm not going to say the rest of it because it looks hard. But he was said to be a Satanist.
Oh, cool. And apparently,
apparently they kept a chicken coop on the roof so that they always had animal sacrifices at hand for rituals.
did he know that there's, like, other reasons to have chickens in an urban landscape?
I don't think so.
There's very good reasons, and that's not one of the top, like, 8 I could give you right now.
And then underneath, like, in the bottom of the hotel, there were, hot springs for, like, ritual cleansings.
Why didn't he just open them as hot springs?
I don't know.
You would have made so much more money.
I know, right? Also, how do you find hot springs in Rhode Island? That's what I'm really curious about. Like, maybe if it was, like, a bathhouse, I get it. So maybe it was a bathhouse.
But no, what if it, like... Okay, what if it was, like, in the ye olde times, a bathhouse or something, or when they were, like, digging to, like, get the foundation or whatever, like, you know, construction lingo. They, like, hit something, and they're like, we hit oil, and they're like, it's actually just water. Wait a second. Hot mineral water? Do you know who loves that?
White people.
Satan. Exactly. It doesn't make sense. Like, why... They could have literally opened, like, the dankest, like, hotel and hot spring.
Yep.
Like, you go in on the main floor and
that's
it's
that's what
super,
everyone in, like, Washington and Colorado did.
Yeah, that's all I want to do now. Like, I just want to go soak in some water and, like, look at some mountains.
That sounds pretty great.
Yeah, right? I don't have a bathtub.
So then when Prohibition hit, it was a speakeasy. But they also had the cops, like, on their side. And, like, the
cops
list...
Cops got a drink, man.
I didn't make a list of the... Let's see. The officials drank for free. 6 cops were charged for 8 different murders. The governor and the mayor were both accused of a murder. There was a cardinal. I'm assuming he was Catholic.
I thought you meant the bird, and I was much more excited.
A cardinal was accused of drowning an 11-year-old prostitute.
There. You want to break down?
Yep.
What? No.
What?
Past that.
There are stories of, phantom men jumping off the 14th floor after the stock market crash in 1929. Guests supposedly hear, like, parties still happening with the speakeasy aspect of it, or they hear footsteps in the hall, and depending on what floor you stay on, I think the 8th floor is a popular one for people to, like, experience weird things while they're sleeping. So that's cool.
No. I just don't like that.
Robert Bloch was inspired partially by the Biltmore when he was writing about the Bates Motel. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know a fair amount about the Bates Motel, too.
Yeah.
We should do an episode about that.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Should I watch the series first?
Yes.
Okay. I'll do that. Also in Providence is Swan Point Cemetery, which is kind of, especially for people who go to, like, Necronomicon, they do a little pilgrimage to Swan Point, because that's where Lovecraft is buried.
And then they have... No, wait, no. Is that... Is Lovecraft the dude where everyone, like, does
sex
the sex on the
grave?
Yep. Yeah, okay.
Didn't we already talk about that earlier?
I don't know. I think you and I talked about it, like outside of the cast.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's so weird to me. I don't know. Like, there's no tickets. There's no, like, really... it seems like context for it. People are just like, do you know what would be a spooky place for some, like... For some diddling?
Some kinky stuff.
Nothing says, I love you. Like, slapping the shit out of your significant other and spitting on them on Lovecraft's grave.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the cemetery was established in 1846. There are 40,000 interments, supposedly. Lovecraft being one of them. Another Weird Tales author, C.M. Eddy, who was a contemporary of Lovecraft, is also buried there. But I don't think people make pilgrimages to his grave just to have sex on it. So that's kind of one of his...
Whack.
More. One of his more well-known stories is Sign of the Dragon, which is pretty good. It's worthwhile. It's a good short story to read. Otherwise, there's a lot of politicians buried there. So you spelled politicians wrong.
How did he spell it?
P-O-L-A-T-I-C-A-N-S.
It's actually a politicians. Yeah, he spelled it the Italian way.
That sounded more Portuguese.
He spelled it the Portuguese way. I'm really bad at accents.
Clearly.
I can, like, speak Spanish, but I'm bad at accents for anything that isn't Spanish.
He told me not to make fun of him for spelling things wrong. I think he also expects it at this point. Mm-hmm. So, it's Swan Point Cemetery. The Necronomicon itself. A lot of people think it's real. It's not.
I thought it was a book that, like, existed at some point and kind of just, like, became famous because of the, like, circumstance. Like, it's just, nope,
the
just fake.
The Necronomicon... is a creation of Lovecraft.
Oh.
He,
I think I'm disappointed.
People get really bent out of shape about it. there are people who believe that the Necronomicon exists and is this, like, portent of evil, and diehard evangelical Christians will be like, about it. No, it's not real. So it was first mentioned within his writing in the story called The Hound, which I've actually already talked about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's first mentioned in that story. And supposedly it was written in 700 AD by Abdul al-Hazred, who was also known as the Mad Wizard or the Mad Arab. So, and apparently it just, like, came to him after some crazy shit happened. And then he died in 738 after he was seized by an invisible monster and devoured in front of a crowd of people. Like, in a marketplace.
Nice.
So.
Sick.
Definitely not real.
Dude, definitely real. So dope. You ever just, like, hanging out, like, buying a fucking avocado and then you get slurped up by some, like...
Yep. Mwah. All the time. So I don't go to the farmer's market anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Farmer's market's not a good place. Also, Luna, our number one mascot, lost her shit when I made that sound. She was not a fan.
And according to Lovecraft, the Necronomicon was translated into Greek in 980, and then into Latin into 1228, and in between those times, the book was suppressed by church authorities as being evil. And apparently there are three copies that exist within the universe, within Lovecraft's universe. Okay. One is in the library at Harvard, one is in the library of Buenos Aires, which is really random, and then the other is in the library at Miskatonic University, which is his... You know, like, how Stephen King has, like, Castle Rock, and that's his, like, Miskatonic is Lovecraft's kind of universe,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Arkham is the town, and then Miskatonic is the university within Arkham.
Okay.
And it's just, like, his fictional New England setting. That's, like, Stephen King draws so much inspiration from Lovecraft, so there's a lot of crossover there. The author of the Necronomicon, even though the Necronomicon itself wasn't mentioned until The Hound, which is still one of his earlier stories, but I think that Nameless City came out before that, and that's the first time that Abdul al-Hazred was mentioned, so the author was introduced before the book itself. And then, as far as pop culture references go, we all know the most common one is gonna be Evil Dead. The Necronomicon is the book they find in Evil Dead. And then all of the subsequent things that came after Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, Ash vs. Evil Dead, all that stuff.
I have seen all of those movies, and they're fantastic.
Luna! It's also mentioned in Cabin in the Woods, as well as Friday the 13th, but those seem to be references to the Evil Dead Necronomicon more than anything else, which I think is interesting. Terry Pratchett also references the Necronomicon. I think he kind of adapts it into his own similar book in his world writing. Discworld, I think, is the main one that he talks about it in. But I haven't read any Terry Pratchett. Even I want to, I just haven't. I think he's, like, one of those, like, him and Neil Gaiman are kind of in the same, like, genre for me, so.
No, they wrote Good Omens together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I'm
yeah, they're,
sure.
Like,
yeah,
they're, like, friends and in the same genre.
Yeah, that makes
best
sense.
Best friends. They're just touching butts and
my mom keeps giving me shit because I haven't watched Good Omens yet.
It's, like, pretty good.
Even though I love David Tennant and, like, she's like, you're gonna like it. Just watch it.
He has some very David Tennant moments. Actually, that's it. That's why... So, for those of you who haven't seen it, Good Omens is a Amazon show about an angel and a demon that throughout the, like, course of human history have become friends. They didn't really acknowledge it was happening, and they didn't, like, intentionally want it to, but they become friends. And, it's rapidly approaching Judgment Day. That's the, like, loose outline of it, and David Tennant, the 11th Doctor?
10th
Doctor, from Doctor Who is in it, as well as this other
slash Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah, slash Barty Crouch Jr. He doesn't have the weird, like, licky teeth thing.
Oh,
though.
I love that about
I
him.
Don't.
Oh,
it's so gross.
Creepy.
It's so
him.
Gross.
No, Michael Sheen. I feel like most people in our generation would know Michael Sheen from Tron, remake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, the guy, I don't remember his name. He is in Kimmy Schmidt as the preacher. That guy, Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs
is in it.
Jason Isaac. Wait.
Yeah.
Isn't that also the guy that plays Malfoy in Harry Potter?
No. That
Jason Isaacs.
No, that's not his name.
Yes.
I would bet you anything.
Jason Isaacs.
I've met him. That's not his name.
That's an...
Wait, no. Wait, you say Lucius or...
Yeah, Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah, same guy.
Yeah, Jason Isaacs. You're right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Cool. I'm glad I didn't have to look that up and just thought about it for 3 seconds. I've met him. Never mind. That's what Good Omens is about. We've referenced it 2 or 3 times in this episode. Definitely watch it. It also got a ton of heat from a lot of people in the United States regarding some of its inaccuracies in the Christian faith specifically, but also historical inaccuracies and how it kind of just, like, laughed at them. I don't know. It's very interesting. But because of this, there was a petition for Netflix to cancel the show. Netflix obviously could not cancel the show because, A, the show had finished airing, B, because Amazon made it. Yeah. So there's a couple really good reasons why, but it's very good. It's a very good adaptation, and it's also a good kind of a capstone to Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman's relationship just as friends and as, like, writers in their respective genres since Terry Pratchett died a few years back, right? It was, like, fairly recent, I think, like, in the last 5 to 10 years, but he couldn't get the show green-lighted before.
Aww.
So it was kind of a last wish of his that the show he wrote with Neil Gaiman came to light and everything.
Aww.
So, yeah, it's really good. Some really cute moments. There's a lot of really weird moments. There's some very Doctor Who moments with David Tennant, and it's so good. 10 out of 10 would watch again.
My favorite reference on this list of pop culture references is an episode of The Simpsons, and I guess one of the episodes opens with Bob Dole reading from the Necronomicon, and that's when they decide that they're just going to destroy the environment.
Is it, like, actually Bob Dole?
I don't know. Did Bob Dole ever actually voice himself on The Simpsons?
I don't know. He probably did. I think The Simpsons is one of the few shows that, like, has a, like...
Because Bill Clinton voiced himself in The Simpsons, right?
Like, a lot of people voice themselves because The Simpsons is a lot.
Have you seen that thing about how The Simpsons predicted that Trump would be the president and would be terrifying?
The Simpsons has predicted almost, like, 10 things in real life. That's crazy. True. Like, The Simpsons writers read from the Necronomicon, is what we're saying.
And
that's why we are in the situation we're in.
And then Stephen King, obviously, as I said earlier, he has a lot of influence from Lovecraft, and so he references the Necronomicon in some of his stories. Lovecraft's universe is very open, and he encouraged other writers to write within his universe, or at least take inspiration to kind of build your own universe within that, which is what Stephen King did. Even in, like, Randall Flatt in The Stand,
Isn't that, that guy that sings the Life is the Highway song that's in Cars?
That's Rascal Flatts.
All right, keep going.
I don't like that I know that. So I hate country, but yep. Randall Flagg, that's his name, sorry.
That's okay.
So
you're definitely thinking about Cars.
Apparently. Randall Flagg is a character in The Stand, and Stephen King admitted that he was supposed to be an incarnation of Lovecraft's character Nyarlathotep, who is this, like, creepy, he is supposed to be this, like, black demon god thing, like, not black, but, like, his body is actually black and creepy, and yeah, he's really cool. He's one of Lovecraft's most reoccurring characters in these, like, different incarnations, kind of. He's in a lot of different stories as different characters, but still the same being, which is really interesting. You're going to talk about Skin Books.
I love Skin Books. Yeah.
Brown University has 4 Skin Books housed there.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about one of them.
We
might have just mentioned
that. We have talked about a Skin Book, but not one that is housed at Brown. Excuse you. Get your butt out of my and he lived really close to Brown University, especially the library, so it's thought that maybe he got some inspiration for the Necronomicon by just, like, going to the library and seeing their weird book collection.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them are the same book. They're both the Dance of Death or Dance Macabre. So that's kind of cool. I don't really know where the skin came from. I didn't do that much digging into that particular part because I wanted to spend more time talking about one book that we've already talked about and telling you the crazy story about another skin book.
Okay.
The book we've already talked about, rewind to episode 2, after William Burke was hanged and his body was donated to the medical school. And we already talked about how some people took parts of his skin and they made them into notebooks.
Yeah.
That's still today, I'm pretty sure, on display at the Royal College of Surgery at the University of Edinburgh.
Shit's not right. It's not good.
The other one is James Allen. When he died, he wanted his skin to be made into the binding, this book called The Highwayman, The Life of James Allen. Then he wanted the book given to a man he tried to rob for his bravery. Wow. So dude's on his deathbed, says, yeah, I tried to rob this guy, but he was cool and he stood up to me and he was really brave, so...
Like, please kind of tie together our weird circumstance and, like, this weird relationship we have through binding a book in my skin and giving it to him. He doesn't want that. Just give him $20. He's like, sorry, I tried to steal a 20 from you. Here's another 20.
Here's another 20 for your trouble.
Yeah.
So that was in 1837, and that book is in the Boston Athenaeum. Yeah. That's the coolest one, in my opinion.
I hate that. So imagine you're just, you know, walking to Aldi. You're just listening to some bop or whatever you're listening to in your headphones, and some guy walks out with a gun, and he's like, give me your money. And you're like, that's a fucking banana.
And you just came out of Aldi, that is a banana.
Yeah, and he's like, no, it's a gun. I'm wearing a ski mask, I'm crazy. And you're like, that's a banana. It's under your shirt. You need help. You should go home. Mm-hmm. I'll forget this ever happened. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I'm having a really rough time right now. And then the guy hugs you. Uh-huh. And he's like, I will do whatever I can to help you. And you're like, my kids just really want to go to Six Flags over Georgia, and I can't afford it. And they're like, when do you get paid next? And you're like, next week. When do your kids want to go to Six Flags? This week. Just go next week then. I guess I didn't think about that. That's a good idea. And you're like, all right, well, here, buddy, I bought these cough drops. You just have those. I gotta go home. Yeah, I could listen to this bop track. So, I hope you have a nice day. Changed your life. You're a millionaire now.
God.
You own Six Flags Over Georgia. Uh-huh. You rechanged it to Six Flags Over Georgia with a lowercase g to a big G. Or from a big G to a bigger G because it was a state before. You know? You're rolling in cash.
Uh-huh.
You've given to charity. You're a shareholder in Aldi. Uh-huh. All this shit. Right?
Okay.
And on your deathbed, you're thinking, this guy changed my life. Also, my memory isn't what it used to be. So I think I held a gun, a real gun. He disarmed me, threw the gun away, kissed me on the mouth, and said, you are human and I am human. I understand that we are bound by circumstance, and in such circumstance, you are trying to take from me, and I would give the skin off my back for you.
Here it is.
And now you, on your deathbed, want to do the same. So you bind a book in your skin because you think that that's what you talked about, but you didn't.
For me, though, the book would be Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, no, this is a much better thing than what I just went off on. Yeah, if you had to bind a book in your skin, what would you bind? Eat, Pray, Love?
Eat, Pray, Love.
Why?
I've never read it. I don't know.
Why? You're just a hungry bitch. So you're like, I guess, like, I'll just do this.
It changed someone's life, so... Here you go. Eat, Pray, Love.
Okay. Think about your serious answer, and I'll think about my... I know my serious answer, but I'll think about my meme answer. So if I had to bind a real book... Or, like, for real, I would bind Loser by Jerry Spinelli, because it's my favorite book. Mm-hmm. And it's about a weird kid. And it made me feel good when I was a kid. And it's part of the reason that I'm not just, like, super off. And I'm just moderately off. It's the reason that I love other people now.
I read so many books as a kid. I don't know if I could like pick one that completely changed my life.
Or... I mean, you don't have to. Just one that is significant to you.
Alice in Wonderland is like the most significant book to me, probably, because the copy I have is like 19 something. It's really old, and the pages are yellow, and it smells old, and it was my grandma's copy.
Nice.
So yeah, and it's one of my favorite stories, and that's why like. When I get my wildflower tattoo, like, when I get my arm piece, it's gonna have wildflowers in it, because it's my favorite line from Alice in Wonderland.
Yo, especially bitch, the Disney movies,
when she's like, do you suppose she's a wildflower, when she's walking through the garden.
So, yeah. I think that...
That's me enough.
For my meme book, I would want, fuck, I just had an idea and I totally lost it. I think the main problem is I don't know how to read, so...
I feel like we've talked about this.
Oh, no, I want it to be, like Clifford the Big Red Dog. Like, the first one.
Curious George.
Yeah, Curious George. He's curious because he wants to know why the book feels weird. You know? Because it's made of my skin. yeah. That's it.
Ew.
Okay, what's the next topic? What else do we have to talk about today?
That's it.
That's it? Okay, yep. Cool. Thank you, everyone, for being yourselves. We love you. If you wrote an autobiography, I would bind that book in my skin.
If you wrote an autobiography, I would bind that book in your skin. Whether you were ready for that
or not.
You
mean my skin or their skin?
Whoever wrote the autobiography, I would find them and take their skin.
That's pretty sick.
Bind it in their book.
It's like sick in a cool way, though. Like, you know.
Also, they were like, no, I'm not ready for this yet. And you were like, too bad.
Gun. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please feel free to give us a like, subscribe, unsubscribe, unlike, also known as a sad thumb.
Sad face.
It helps us a lot just with visibility. Also, we like to know what you think. So if you want to shoot us a cool link of something you want us to talk about, something that I got terribly wrong, or something that you want Georgia kind of just to elaborate on, you can search Broadcast from the Belfry on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
You can email us.
Or you can email us at broadcastfromthebelfrypodcast@gmail.com. Nope. btfbpodcast@gmail.com.
Nope. Broadcastfromthebelfry@gmail.com.
Fuck, I was so close.
Well, full disclosure, we originally wanted to be BTFB Podcast, but that was already taken.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, feel free to send us whatever via any of the methods we just said. We'll love to communicate with you, and we'll read your stuff on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What do we say to him, Georgia?
Thanks for listening and stay spooky.
Beautiful humans. Hey, Willie. Come on, you.